keeping it real on cliffcentral.com.
Hola, how you guys doing? My name is Tumisha Masha, and welcome to the greatest show on radio. This is Black Life for Real. It's Thursday. It's 11 o'clock. We're doing this until 12, so keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. In the studio with me today, I've got some very interesting people that I'm going to be chatting to, and we're going to be talking all about reading. We're also going to be talking about business, and we're going to tell you where to go and what to do this coming weekend. We're waiting for Mona BC. He's going to be here any time now. He's out there, you know, making dollars. He's making those Madibas, whatever you want to call them. But any minute now, I'm sure he's going to be here with us. But in the meantime, I've got a gentleman by the name of Tebogo Ditshego. How are you doing, Tebza?
Guy, Mr. Tumisho.
Ah, okay, grand, me out.
Ah,
sure. So, my brother, you are from Kwatema, am I correct?
That's not true. I'm from Kagiso.
Kagiso.
In the West Rand.
Oh, in the West Rand, because Kwatema is in the East Rand, ne?
Yeah, I think there was an article written that said I'm from Katlehong, so I understand. Maybe you got it from there.
Ah, you know, this is just crazy. But nonetheless, that's where you're from.
Yeah.
But now, you are a group CEO of private equity firm Ditshego Investment Group.
Yeah.
Tell me something, my brother. Coming up, in fact, let's start about, you know, your company.
Yeah.
What do you guys do?
So basically, the first company that we registered was Ditshego Media in 2011. And we are a public relations agency, which essentially means that we manage reputations of organizations.
All right.
And then later we registered Read a Book SA, which falls under the South African Reading Foundation, of which I'm a chairperson. And then we started Ditshego Investment Group basically because Ditshego Media saw a lot of success. And we wanted to now spread our wings and also open opportunities for other entrepreneurs who'd like to open businesses for giving financial and non-financial support, but it's investment across the African continent.
All right. Well, let's start there, actually, because I want to talk about Read a Book SA. But before we go there, I want to talk about your business interests. The companies that you represent, are you allowed to talk about them?
I am allowed
I'd
to talk
to
about
hear
them.
About it. Let's get the listeners, you know, interested in what it is exactly, the kind of companies that you represent, my brother, in the media.
Okay, so one of our biggest clients is Uma Lucy, which is the education standardization organization. Essentially, we assisted them with social media. And we started it from the beginning. So we had to actually register their Facebook and Twitter accounts and then get them to have a following, build content for them, and ensure that young people out there are informed about how is it that they can go about, you know, if they've lost their matric certificate, what they can do, or if their details are incorrect, what they can do. And also for young people who want to go into FET colleges, for them to know whether or not it's registered and how to find out whether or not it's registered.
So how come you didn't help Ellen Chabalala? Because she apparently lost her UNISA qualifications. I mean, she should have called you.
I cannot confirm or deny those allegations.
All right. So how did you get your start in media, and what made you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
He's my competitor, by the way.
Oh, and he's here. You see, we're fair, Mona BC.
He's my competitor.
We help all the brothers. This is Black Life. It's for black people. Yeah. We must help everybody. How are you doing, BC?
Hello, everybody.
So what's up to the listeners? So, Noligai.
I did.
Noligai.
I just flew in from Noligai. George.
My friend's Balboni.
Yeah, I just flew in from George.
No, Balboni. You went in George.
Huh?
You weren't in George.
You are you calling me a liar?
No, you were at the Grand again.
You know the one time Tumisha makes the show again, on time, right?
One time.
Yeah.
We will
never hear
how
the
many
end
times
of it.
Am I always holding forward for you? Yeah, George, eh?
Yeah.
It's your new thing nowadays. Are you like, are you rich now, Monabi? So you're one of those rich black guys?
No, when I grow up,
George,
I want
to
be just like him when I grow up.
You don't go
up,
to Devon, you go to George.
Yeah. Garden Route, huh?
Yeah, nice, man.
No, there's no darkies in the Garden Route.
Well, you know, if you want to be like Tebogo here, you have to also be in the Forbes magazine top 30 African entrepreneurs under age of 30. And
wow.
And we're not talking like
I
you
can't
know,
crack that. Can we just put it out there? You
and,
know?
And not a fake cover, you know what I mean? But the real deal.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a question for T. T man.
Yes, sir.
Shapi Gunjan.
I'm good, Munambis.
Okay, man. Why the scarf, man? You know, I've met you 3 times, and all 3 times I've seen you with a scarf.
It's his thing. You've got to have
okay,
let me hear him.
I have to hear the
I'm just trying to help
is it like
man
a you know,
he's
how
our guest, you know.
Like Nelson had his Mandela shirts. Who else? Mbeki has his I am an African.
Yeah.
Che Guevara had his cigar and the Bahrain.
Exactly.
And then Julius has the red overall.
And then Tumisha had the don't answer that. But
I have
your
this.
Question.
I have you know, I have a hat. Always have this hat.
Yeah.
So what's up with the scarf, bro?
Well, you know, I in my spare time I do a lot of kung fu. And in case lebatlo tla ka mawaza ka entsa ska fikele bontse motlhola.
I'll tell me ka mona
bi. Yeah, peace in the studio. You've achieved a lot, man.
Thank you, sir.
Young man like yourself, you've achieved a lot.
But I was still asking him, like, what made you decide to get into media? I mean, of all the things out there, and when you got into media, you weren't like ke batlo actor or you know I want to present or be a DJ, and you were calling fresh and all that. You know, you went into the real thing, media behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, essentially, it started in high school. So I was a very naughty child. If you watch Top Billing later on, my mother's going to say that I was actually a very good child.
Oh, you're on Top Billing tonight, are you?
I'm on Top Billing.
Nice. He just drops it in jail, like FYI side note.
So essentially, my teacher called me outside, and I thought I was in trouble as usual. But the teacher said, you know, I think you've got a gift of public speaking. I think you should enter the speech competition. And from there on, because I won so many speech competitions, I thought that I should enter into an industry that is communications related. And so I saw that as an investment in myself, actually going into communications.
All right. Yeah. And what year was that when you started that?
Well, I studied public relations at the University of Johannesburg from 2003. I did a certificate, national diploma, up to honors degree. And I just recently...
What?
Yeah, up to honors in communications theory.
And where was this?
At the University of Johannesburg.
You just said... You see, us graduates know these things.
You know, people need to hear these things. You know, when Jesus was ready to speak, he spoke twice. He said, "Verily, verily." You know, so now repeat yourself so that people can know that you're not there by mistake or you are there by, you know, something yana. That's.
I had three qualifications up to honors.
Fundegile.
Yeah, I'm
fundegile. Now I'm the honors. What do you mean?
Honors,
yeah, I say rated the best university in South Africa. I have, you know.
You know, okay. I always say Tumisho has three siblings. Yeah. One is an engineer.
Uh-huh.
One is a CA.
Uh-huh.
The other one, she is.
She did actuary.
Actuary.
She was going towards the actuarial thing. You know?
Yeah, in MySpace. That's MySpace, by the way.
Side
note. And then to me show acting.
Yeah, but it's not acting.
It's
BA drama honors. I wrote a thesis
acting.
At Wits. Okay.
Acting. From engineers to CAs to acting.
Well, I'm just like Dumisha because my brother did a big com.
Okay.
He just recently had his MBA.
Okay.
And I'm just a communicator.
Okay. Okay. You know? Okay.
But currently, I think learning is a lifelong process, and I just finished a course to be accredited as a chartered marketer. So
okay.
I mean, we Dumisha,
I think that deserves a high five.
High five. There you go. High five. What's a chartered marketer, by the way? I was just lost there. It's Khoa.
It's the highest form, the highest form of accreditation that a marketer can get.
Hmm.
Okay, he's chartered. Yeah. He's a CM.
He's
CM.
Yeah.
Chartered marketer.
Okay. CMSA.
And then, CMSA. You know, tell us about your business, the Techo Group.
Yes.
Starting that.
Yeah.
How many years after varsity had you already gone into the corporate world before you did it? Was it something that you just did off the back of your honors degree?
Ditego Investment Group started this year, so it's a brand new company.
Oh, really?
It just started this year, and it I mean, Ditego Media is a subsidiary of that. But all the business interests that I go into are gonna fall under Ditego Investment Group.
Okay.
And there's a radio station that I'm currently looking at to purchase. I obviously can't mention it, but I'm on the board of directors of that specific radio station. So we're looking to actually build an empire, but beyond South African borders. I think essentially it's also going to assist us in our long-term journey. We're looking to make Ditego Media the first African global public relations agency.
Right.
And you might have seen early on today, I was tweeting to CNN because I was disappointed at the manner in which they have framed Kenya as the hotbed of terrorism, because that affects our economy, and it affects entrepreneurs such as me who would like to go
and
spread our wings because of that stereotype.
It's funny because they never say that America is the hotbed of terrorism when so many attacks happen there. I mean, you can just get shot in America for no reason, or bombed, or have a plane fly through your building. But that really never happens. You know, one or two attacks, and that happens. That's you know. And suddenly CNN is, and the world media is up and up. How do you feel about that? As a African, young South African who's in the media, when you watch international media, what do you think it is that we're doing wrong when we're not putting our own pictures out there for ourselves?
I'd actually start by saying, you know, I participated in President Barack Obama's Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders, and we had access to the President of the U.S. And I felt that, you know, when we have these interactions, it's very important for us to also address issues such as the stereotyping of Africa and framing it as the center of poverty and corruption.
Right. When
there's so many different African stories, and I think intellectually,
right,
when you look at it, it's either African pessimism or African optimism. It's either you're optimistic about Africa or you don't believe in Africa. It's the dark continent.
Yeah.
And we don't get that essential things like, such as when Dumisho Masha was on Top Billing, when we see ordinary lives. We don't see that in international media. And I think it's the failure of our fathers. And it's our turn as the young people, future leaders, to correct this.
Yeah,
I suppose you're right. I mean, the funny thing that you just mentioned now is you know, when it comes to that media, the thing is, media is expensive.
Yes.
The thing is, it costs money to put up a production that is positive.
True.
But my gripe, and my biggest gripe at the moment, is that all South African, and I'm going to say it like it is, black media, whether you watch a channel like Mzansi Magic or SABC, a lot of our stories, when it's a black thing, are quite Mickey Mouse in the quality of the production. We I don't know if it's maybe the market that's pushing this, because you look at something like Our Perfect Wedding, you know what I mean? And I'm not putting that show down. It's very entertaining.
No, you are.
But no,
you
but
are.
Listen, check it out. Check
Let's
it
face
out.
The facts. You no, are. No, no, it's but, a cuck show.
No, wait. Let me just make my point. My point is this: if you want to see a quality wedding, you watch Top Billing, right? Which is actually a white show with black people on it.
Okay. Okay.
And if you want to see black people at a wedding, and it's not going to be quality, then you watch Our Perfect Wedding. And it's like that. I mean, you watch show after show on Mzansi or SABC or ETV that is supposed to be for black consumption.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that is just so ashy.
Tacky.
Okay. Tumisho, let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, Our Perfect Wedding trends. Whether we like it or not, every week it's trending.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
I don't see Top Billing trending anytime soon. So maybe we're trying to pick up the standard and, you know, have we identified what our market is? Have we identified? That's one question I'd like. Have we identified
can I just say something
what
right
makes
there?
A true South African?
Tick.
Yeah.
Can I say something right there about what you said about training? Quick.
Yes.
The thing is, right, I feel like our market, especially on Twitter, our black market that goes on social media, they will trend shows not necessarily because they are loving what they're seeing in terms of it's eye-opening, it's educational, it's wonderful to watch, but siya lahana, you know what I'm saying? We're laughing at these people like, how ridiculous that, you know, he wants to eat the butternut, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, or they'll tweet about generations and how bad someone's hairstyle is, or this acting is atrocious. But we don't tweet about the good stuff. We really don't. We don't go on social media for those things. What's up with that, man?
Well, I have to agree with you to a certain extent, and I think it's good for us to democratize the media.
Okay.
Have shows like Top Billing, have shows like Our Perfect Wedding, so that you have a balanced approach in showing what South Africa is all about.
That's clever. But we've met our match in the studio today.
We have, indeed.
But I would like to emphasize that in terms of the ratings, if you look at the ratings, a show like Generations, The Legacy, it's the biggest show in the country, and it hardly
probably
ever
on the continent.
Was the biggest show.
It
now
still
it's number
is.
Two.
We just released
what's number one?
Ghana, what's that?
Isibai. Uzalo.
Uzalo.
There we go.
Okay. Speak up. We're having a conversation, guys. Let's talk.
No, guys, listen.
Yes.
Generations, The Legacy is the biggest show in the country. We just released the statistics on the 10th of July. It was Uzalo. Uzalo's number two.
Okay.
And Uzalo and Generations don't trend every day, but they've got the most viewers.
Right.
You know,
right.
So as much as social media does show you what public sentiment is like, and it can be a reflection of how popular something is, but it's not the end all and be all, because not everybody is tweeting about what they're watching.
Right. Okay. Okay. Now we're joined in studio by two lovely other people.
Hello.
Do you want to speak closer to the make love with the mic?
Make love to the mic, no
yeah,
mic.
Yeah.
Tanda leo mic.
Tumisho, do you want to keep going, buddy?
I'm still here, buddy. I thought you were asking questions.
Okay. Let me go to social media. On WeChat, Divan Cronier. Hey, we've got. Hey, Divan. Shout out to Divan.
How you doing, Divan? I am actually working on getting that Periscope up and running as I'm doing the show right
please
now.
Please Periscope the show, please.
And you know what? Like, in the meantime, Divan, what you can do is send me your handle at Periscope or Twitter, and then you can see it for yourself, buddy.
Okay. What is Pepperotiscope now?
Periscope, it's where you get to, like, you don't just tweet a photo. What you do is you actually tweet a video.
Okay. Yeah. I was asking for Tebogo.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Munobis.
Yes, sir.
I just have one to ask her one question. How does it feel to manage clients at Ditego Media?
Right.
All right. We've got in the studio here Nomandla Bobo. Can we just introduce her, please?
Please, let's do that. Yeah. Hello.
How are you doing, Nomandla?
Good day, listeners.
So what do you do at Ditego Group?
Yes, please tell us what you do, not what your boss wants you to do. Right? Truth.
I'm a senior accounts manager at Ditego Media, so I basically do all the work.
Right.
And Ditego is just a face.
Okay. Truth prevails.
So I just manage relationships with our clients, namely Avon Justine, or Tumba International, Transnet, Umalusi, to make sure their communication is up to date. They're happy, the media is happy. When the clients are happy, the company gets paid.
Okay.
So I do all the real work. My team as
well. And what's your background?
My background is actually marketing.
Okay.
I studied retail marketing and merchandising.
Okay.
I kind of fell into PR because it kind of, you incorporate it into marketing.
Right.
I met Tebogo a couple of, like, 6 months back. At Design in Durban, Cape Town.
No way.
Yes, and he stole me from my previous company. I won't mention it. and he kind of lured me in with the woman empowerment angle, saying, you know, I want you to manage. I want to empower women in this media space.
Right.
You don't have to be the face. You can be behind the scenes and actually, you know, produce and work. You don't have to be a model or a presenter.
But you do look like a model. So did he?
Are you two
like kind of, you know, keeping it in the office vibe?
Really, Monavisi? That
really?
Is so controversial.
Hey, keep it in that the family.
So, this is not so easy and Ellen, hey?
So that's basically my role, to manage the clients.
Right. Tebogo, are you going to introduce...
Oh, no. This is Babalo Mduzulwana. Say something, my man. Did I say your surname right? I always get it wrong.
You were almost there, yeah.
Babalo Mduzulwana.
Lubabalo Mduzulwana.
Oh, Tumisha's kryptonite. Yo, now I see why you're in studio. I understand now. So
this
democratization of Xhosa-ness is you seriously were a Xhosa in your previous life, eh?
I think so. You know, I was. I was a living man in Africa. Because we're going to talk about books just now. But we're going to talk to Lubabalo later on in the show. 15 minutes before we leave, we want to tell you guys about a brand new farmer's market that is opening in Midrand. You don't have to drive all the way out to places like Four Ways and Abo Sentin and the guy, you know, in town. You can go to Midrand, especially for people in Centurion and Pretoria. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about that later. What I want to talk about right now is about the what you guys are doing with Read a Book Essay.
Uh-huh. In fact, what book are you reading at the moment? Sorry, before we, like, what book are you reading at the moment?
Well, I'm currently reading a book about North Korea. South Korea, sorry, guys. And it's all about how it became an economic powers that it is today. I like reading about global economics so that we can learn from what other countries have done.
Right.
So I've read about Germany. I've read about Japan,
right,
and now I'm looking at North Korea, and perhaps next time I'll look at Indonesia. The suit I'm wearing right now is from Indonesia.
Okay.
And so I'd love to learn.
It was what? Made in a day?
By children in sweatshop.
Hey, look, I must say from my perspective,
yeah,
I don't mind whether children are making it or not.
Yeah.
It teaches them entrepreneurship from a very young
age.
They
must work, damn it.
You know, when I was in China a couple of months back, I saw a 9-year-old put together an iPhone within about 45 minutes.
Wow.
Pieces and everything.
In China. Yeah.
And for me, you know, when I left, they were so upset thinking, you know, damn it, child labor. When I was on the plane, I had my aha moment to think, you know, would I want my 9-year-old knowing how to put a gadget like that together?
Mm.
And the answer was categorically yes.
Yeah.
So why aren't we training? Yes, it doesn't. We can control the labor environment.
Yeah.
But teach them how to break this thing and put it back together.
Innovation. Well.
Innovation. Yeah. You know?
Here's my thing with what you were talking about just
Manda
now.
Was even, Debucho was judging a competition at Shivers. Yeah. Where they were looking at entrepreneurs from around the country on what it is that they're making innovations. Does that influence your everyday life?
Definitely. I mean, when I look at Reader Book, I say it's essentially to open more opportunities for young people. And right. I think if young people start becoming readers, right. Then
I think that's what we've lost really in South Africa. Yeah. Our young people don't read books anymore. Exactly. They read social media. Yeah. And you know, I think it's important to keep a balance. I'm not saying don't do social media. Yeah. I'm not saying only read or do one, but have a balance, because reading is so important for even just your mental development as a human, and your human development as a person. Yeah. There's certain things you can't get anywhere else but in a book. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing that you spoke about just now was reading a book on South Korea.
Yeah.
What do you think South Korea did right in terms of, one, when it comes to their manufacturing industry and also their media, that we could actually pick up some tips?
Well, I think one thing that South Korea did is that they learned from Japan. They learned from the because Japan had the issue of Hiroshima, mm-hmm. and they had to build their economy from scratch.
Yeah.
I was actually very fascinated by South Korea because they have the fastest internet in the world.
Yeah.
South Korea has this innovation. It's not just an electric engine of a bus, but there's actually a metal in the ground where the bus actually recharges as it's moving.
Wow.
And if we could move towards that direction, if the BRT had that kind of technology, I mean, it could help us a lot.
But don't you think that the other thing is it's not just innovation? I mean, I think we're very innovative as Africans, but I think it's implementation. I mean, you're talking about a bus that you know has steel underneath it and it's recharging, and we could do that. We've just gotten new trains, and every time something new happens, the government does something that is supposed to be for the benefit and the good of the people. There is always a corruption controversy around it. With the trains, Prasa right now apparently bought all these trains, and they were advised not to, and they bought them anyway, and it seems like it's actually going to cost us more in the end. Everything starts out costing a couple of billion, and before you know it, it's many tens of billions more than what it was supposed to cost to begin with. And the thing is, I'm not necessarily saying that we should stop looking for black companies to provide services and to do the tendering. I mean, that's how the white economy in South Africa was built, specifically the Afrikaner economy. Yeah. But it's giving the right people the chance, the opportunity to do the right thing.
Yeah. And I think essentially what we need to do is, as a people, we need to take control of our country. We need to start supporting each other, because just relying on one entity is not going to help us.
Yep.
If we can get together, put our heads together, and for an example, when Dumisha was speaking about the fact that we need several shows that show other sides of our lives.
Yeah.
We want Dumisha to have his own production on television.
Right. I would love to. It's not that easy, though. I've realized that just because I've been on TV for the past 18 years doesn't mean I can walk into a broadcaster with what I believe is a great idea that I've worked on, that I've developed, that is ready to go into production and be given that opportunity. Look, I can't complain about certain things. I think it's also market related. Okay. Every broadcaster has an understanding of what their audience wants to see. And I think at the moment, the broadcasters are just giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
But I think it's valid that we should start thinking about cultivating a market.
Exactly.
Can I add on to that? Yeah. I feel like if education could focus on people to look to encourage youth to create their own opportunities instead of going to school to learn how to get a job, to create a job for yourself. And that's where reading comes in.
And I think that when I was in grade five, I went to Princess Primary School, and in grade five, I still remember we were outside of the hall, and they were telling us that, listen, in the future, when you grow up, there won't be enough jobs, so we need you to now think about creating jobs.
If we can
plant the seed in a young person's child, I still remember that to this day. I think our country can go far.
Did you always read as a youngster? Did you read books?
Always read. And in fact, my mother tells me, I mean, obviously I wouldn't remember, but when she was pregnant with me in her stomach, one of the things she's going to mention tonight on Top Billing is...
Yeah, once plug again, that show, son. Plug that show.
Tune in on SABC 3 at 7:30, right?
Yeah, Timish, I'll just hit him with the Top Billing intro nyana there.
Tonight on Top Billing, we have Debucho Ditshego talking about Read a Book Essay and how he managed to rise from the ashes to be one of South Africa's biggest media entrepreneurs.
Tonight, only on Top Billing.
So in my mother, when I was pregnant in my mother's stomach, She was studying towards a particular course, but she was doing accounting at that time. And she purposefully read out loud because she felt like it influences the child in some way.
Definitely.
Wow.
It definitely does.
And so my mother read to me, and my father is an intellectual. He was a political activist, and there were books all over the house. I mean, we didn't have the best upbringing, all the money in the world due to apartheid, but we had some of the best.
We must thank that now because it's produced you. So.
Yes.
Hey? Yeah. But here's the thing. What kind of books were you reading at the time? I mean, were you reading the fairy tales? Did you start out with the fairy tales? Or did you just go straight into like political rhetoric and self-help books?
I think essentially at the beginning,
manuscripts.
My father introduced me to Sheikh Anta Diop, who is a Senegalese nuclear physicist and anthropologist at a very young age. But I mean, it was the Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, Humpty Dumpty. But my mom also read encyclopedias to us.
I remember getting my first set of encyclopedias. I was really excited. I read them from cover to cover one holiday, and I just loved them. Yeah. And I mean, that's so important. People need to read. So tell us more about Read a Book Essay, like the initiative.
Yeah.
What is it really all about?
Well, we started the initiative on the 24th of August in 2013, and essentially we put it on social media because that platform, we don't need any funding to do it, and we have the marketing expertise. And so we say that our followers should read one book a month, take a picture of the book that you're reading, send it to us on Twitter. You don't have to give us a comprehensive review of the book, just tell us how you feel about it.
All right.
If all you feel about it is that it's inspiring, well, we won't judge you about that. And as time goes on, you'll become more analytical and you'll be able to analyze the book more comprehensively.
It's like book club, but without the wine.
Without the wine. And now we're sitting at 32,600 followers.
What? Wow. And are those reading books? Are they sharing their books? Or
12,500 of our followers have recommended a book so far.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are real followers, not the followers that PR agencies buy for their celebrity.
How do you do that, by the way? I always wondered. I mean, I want to push up my numbers a little bit. Do you want to just throw something out here quickly?
No
problem. Just tell us, how do you do that?
No problem. I think we need to give credit to DJs Boo. When we started the initiative, I was analyzing all the celebrities who were following us, and I felt as if DJs Boo was the most committed. So we met with DJs Boo, and he works
hard on social media.
Oh no, he doesn't.
Guy works hard. I mean, he deserves every single follower he's got.
Exactly.
Night and day, he is posting. I don't know when he gets time to eat, when he gets time to shit.
Well,
did I say that out loud?
DJs Boo promoted the initiative for 24 months nonstop, and he deserves credit.
You pay him?
No, we didn't pay him a cent. But I mean, it helped him in terms of positioning him as a leader in the education space. And then he started a foundation. He actually started it formally in 2013, but he's been working on the foundation for the past 8 years, the Sibusiso Leope Education Foundation. But essentially, it was a group effort. We have politicians, celebrities, we have various thought leaders who'd invite us to their shows. I mean, just like this particular platform where you're inviting us to your show and speaking about the initiative help. Because now we're coming together for a similar cause.
I'm speechless.
I'm a little bit speechless myself.
Very few times that I'm speechless, and you just managed to shut me up. So there's a problem here.
But what I'd like to find out about is some of the books that totally like changed your world. You know, the books that turned your life around, and kind of the age that you're reading them. You spoke about encyclopedias earlier, but you know, some of the books that popped to mind as you were growing up and as you were in your formative years.
Well, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X in 3 days when I was 9 years old, I mean, that helped me in terms of, I mean, all of the benefits of reading, but essentially understanding who was Malcolm X, where did Malcolm X come from, and how I can learn from his particular life. Steve Biko, I Write What I Like. Mm-hmm. And more recently, that guy. No, he's a legend, and he's a genius. And currently, I mean, in business, books that have helped me there's a lady by the name of Kim Meredith, a South African lady. She has a book called The Devil in the Deal, and it really helped us to get a lot of the clients that we currently have, because it gives you guidance and it teaches you that people don't just give you business deals because you're going to give them a bribe. People don't just give you business deals because they see a particular benefit, like a sexual benefit. People give you business for different reasons, and you need to find that deeper reason why this person would like to give you business. And I think the book, another book that I'd recommend is The Marketing
Devil in the Deal. Hey?
So Devil in the Deal.
I'm looking it up right
Kim
now.
Kim Meredith.
The other book was
The other book is
Malcolm X's
autobiography. Steve Biko. What I Like.
Okay.
And lastly, I'd like to recommend The Marketing Imagination by Theodore Levitt, who was a Harvard University economics professor and is considered the father of modern day marketing. And he speaks about what marketing is all about, and it's all about satisfying the customer.
Right.
And when we started Itero Media, we were selling to the customer, not looking at what is the customer, what does the customer need,
right,
and how we can satisfy them.
I think that's, you know, you hit it right there. I mean, like, maybe when I say, for example, that, you know, sometimes we struggle with the broadcasters in terms of what we want, what we want to give them, because we think, yo, I've come up with this great show, man. You know, it's fantastic. And they're like, but that's not what we need. It is fantastic, but right now it's not really what we need. Yeah, but I still go back to, you know, sometimes you gotta, you don't necessarily have to give the people what they want, but what they need at a certain time.
Yes.
And speaking about, like, you know, the books that you read, Malcolm X, Steve Biko, great historical figures.
Yes.
You read their biographies and sometimes their autobiographies as well. And I think that our youth, for example, is suffering from not knowing their history, because the only way you can get South African history is when an American film company comes over with their money and makes our stories the way they want to do it. And I think that for our history, for us to, you know, to get somewhere where the youth know the history, it's not going to, I'm sorry to say, they're not necessarily all going to read, but if we could turn some of those books, those autobiographies, I was reading a great book, and I read it almost every year now, Mhudi, by Soap, like, I just love it, you know, it's so beautiful, and the way it tells us the story and the history, A Living Man in Africa, the history of how the missionaries came to South Africa, and how the Xhosa people were some of the first people that experienced that influx of the Europeans, you know, as a result, that's why you guys, you know, you mix like, I say outside, see, green grass, you know, but that sort of thing. And I think we need to turn those books into films.
And I think that's very important. I mean, I read the biography of Nelson Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom.
Right.
And then I watched the movie and I was highly disappointed.
Ouch, it was awful.
It was awful. Yeah. And I think another thing, I mean, if you look at Utata Nelson Mandela, he lived in Alexandra Township. He had a crush on a lady by the name of Didi. But there's a story that I really appreciate in that book, is that Nelson Mandela worked at the law firm where Walter Sisulu was.
Yeah, the two of them were in the law firm together.
Yeah, and for 5 years, Nelson Mandela borrowed a suit from one of the directors at the law firm.
Yeah.
And every single day for 5 years, most of the 5 years, he walked from Alexandra Township to the city of Johannesburg to chase his dream of becoming a lawyer. And he wore the suit each and every day until there were more patches on the suit than there was suit.
Well, actually suit, yeah.
And all we know, Robben Island, he comes out of Robben Island in forgiveness, but we don't know the perseverance that he had before he went on to Robben Island.
And even after that, you know, I mean, like, leaving that law firm at 42, he's a middle class black man with prospects. He's just married to Winnie. They've got two beautiful children. It's like, what, 3 years in. He decides, guys, we need to start the armed struggle. And he goes out there and leaves it all behind. And from then on, we know he never really came back. You know, he went straight to jail once he came back.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think until we start telling our own stories, they won't appeal even to us. I mean, I don't know how well Long Walk to Freedom did internationally, because, you know, and maybe I say this all the time, I think maybe people are starting to think that I've got a personal gripe about it.
No.
But no, listen, here's what I'm saying. The movies that we make that are not our own, even if they just appeal to one person, our own movie, without an international star, without necessarily a hyped up story, but like a real story, like what you said now. I mean, that's a beautiful story, that this guy walked to work from Alex every day and he borrowed a suit.
Yeah.
And even if just one African child sees that movie and learns from that the perseverance, as opposed to just a glossed over, we've got this star in the movie and yet we're struggling to hear what he's saying and really feel that Madiba in him. You know what I mean? And until we start telling our own stories, I think we'll never really not only appeal to ourselves but even appeal internationally.
Yeah,
that's my 5 cents.
And I just wanted to pick up on that. I mean, we've got issues such as xenophobia.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, there'll be issues around tribalism.
Yeah.
And it's essentially because we don't know our history, so we don't have an identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know where we come from. Yeah. Yeah. And if we knew where we came from,
I like that.
And there would be less discrimination based on race, tribe, based on where you come from, based on the color of your skin.
Yeah.
And we'd have more confidence. And I think that's what helped me from a younger age, reading books from Sheikh Anta Diop about the African origins of civilization.
Yeah.
I knew, I mean, before I even did history in high school, I already knew how the Greeks and Romans would come to Africa to drink from the fountains of knowledge.
Mm, mm, mm.
Yeah,
and the Nubians.
And the Nubians.
The university in Timbuktu,
exactly.
The first university ever in the world was in Africa.
Yeah.
But those sort of things, I mean, they change your outlook and the kind of person that you are and what you want out of life. I think at the moment what we're struggling with as Africans is our identity is based on materialism. So my success is really what I can show you outwardly as opposed to really knowing who I am. And you're right. I like what you said about, you know, xenophobia. When I found out about my family's personal history, I was told that actually my people, the Mashas, originated in the DRC. And they came down.
They went Xhosa.
No, they definitely. There's no Xhosa in me.
Okay.
I'm in a Xhosa, but there's no Xhosa in
me. Okay. All
right. No one got that, but it's fine. but here's the thing, right? And we went through Zambia, and you know, I suppose you picked up more people along the line, and then eventually landed up somewhere in Limpopo around there. And actually, a lot of the Bantu people in South Africa trekked down at some point. Yes, it was a lot longer ago than what sometimes the history of apartheid would like us to believe. Mm-hmm. It's not like when Jan van Riebeck landed, there was like nobody here because we were all up in the north, right? We're already here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But with what you're saying right now, like, we are actually so one. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And also, I love tweeting about the origins of all of our languages. All our languages originate from the Niger-Congo region. And we all originate from that region, and we migrated down to South Africa. So that is why when I can speak a little bit of Swahili, if I say, habari yako, how are you?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like Xhosa and Tswana, habari yako. You know, and our languages sound the same because they all come from
Musiwatunya.
Musiwatunya.
What does that mean?
It's a Mount Kilim, the mountain that smokes, or the smoke that mountain. The smoking mountain.
Yes.
And
the Vic Falls.
The Vic Falls.
Not Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, Musiwatunya. Yeah, that's right.
And in Swahili, if you want to say, God bless you, Mungu akubariki. If I want to say, where are you going? Unaenda wapi? If I want to say, where do you come from?
Mostly very Tsonga.
Almost. If I say, where do you come from? Umetoka wapi?
Umetoka wapi?
Sounds a bit like.
So what's the fascination around the languages?
Well, we have an office in Kenya.
Okay.
And when we're in the U.S., thankful for the U.S. president for putting us on that program. Because
drop that name, brother. Drop it.
Barack Obama.
They must know.
Barack
drop it.
Obama.
So he put us together, young African leaders together.
Right.
And I got to meet people from Kenya, all over the continent. And I met a lady, Suzanne Semenye, from Kenya. And she's
Kata Semenye's...
She's married to a South African.
Yeah, it's interesting,
okay.
Actually. You see, about Casta, about Pumalab.
Well done, Casta. Well done.
Well done, my boy.
And the people from Tanzania, a guy called Eugene
and
Suzanne were teaching me how to speak Swahili. And we opened an office with Suzanne's assistants in Kenya.
Man, so is it a media company?
It's Ditego Media in Kenya.
Okay.
Wow. The next
we've
step
got
is
business
Zambia.
For you in Kenya.
Oh.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
So you're not a competitor, you're a partner.
Yeah. No, there's no competitive. I think we as Africans need to learn how to co-empower.
Yes.
You know, it's
preach
a problem
on, brother.
Where I find you as a competitor. Yeah, you know Gareth
like
always
as if there's
says
no
something.
Space
yeah,
for you. Like
yeah.
I'm the only one in this.
Yeah. You know, Gareth always says, you know, there's always room for everyone. There's always a piece of a pie. And I never forget that because effectively we're both in media. When I met him, I was also in radio, blah, blah, blah. But there is enough space to coexist.
Yes.
And we need to learn that. But how do we change it? You know, how do we change that? Because now, for example, you started National Book Week. You know, me, I've met you because my office follows you. I have, like, you and I have kind of bumped into each other in meetings or business breakfast or whatever. You act out everything we do.
I think how we change it is understanding the benefit of doing it.
Yeah.
Firstly, the benefit of not being xenophobic and not being tribalist is that when we're united, we're stronger.
Right.
The benefit of understanding that if you work together, if I open a door for Brad Dumisho or I open a door for Mr. Nwabisa, essentially, he's going to do me a favor maybe in future. Or he's going to connect me to somebody.
He's going to owe you a favor. You owe me a favor.
You're
like
going to owe me a favor. Yeah. Huh? But if we work together, we can achieve much more.
Right.
I've got an important question to ask.
Okay, can I ask? Mine, then I'm done.
No, it's fine.
I promise. Until the fruit and veg.
Go for it. Yeah.
Are you sure, buddy?
If I must go for it.
Can I do? Okay. So, relationships. You know, we always forget. Like Mandela had, I don't know how many women. Okay. Not a bad.
Why
I
you
know
that's
a bad thing.
That?
Or look, the man was busy. The man was busy.
It's an African thing, man.
No. Yeah. Later, I don't accept.
Order.
You know, but the question is, how do we? Like, are you married, first and foremost?
No, I'm not married.
How old are you?
Are you in a relationship?
I'm 30.
You're 30?
Yeah, I'm in a relationship.
Unyalaning.
Yeah.
I think...
Translate that. Are you chowing or are you going to be serious about this thing?
I'm going to be serious. And in the next... Very soon, I'll get married.
Okay. Madam, are you married?
No, I'm not.
Are you single?
No, I'm seeing someone.
Okay.
And I have a 2-year-old daughter.
It's complicated.
She has a daughter.
Yeah, 2-year-old.
Okay. And how old are you, if you may ask?
I'm 28 in September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I was going to date you, you have 2 years sell-by date. From 30, I just told you.
Yeah. No, Dumisho is synonymous for that. So stay away. You have been warned.
You're as young as the woman you feel, Monobisi.
So... what critical role does a partner play to a person who's taking over the world like yourself? How do you balance, you know, your business? For me, I can see it. Like, what your work is that's your first marriage.
Yes.
And then your partner is somebody who coexists with you, literally.
Mm.
So how are you going to balance that? Or how have you balanced it thus far?
Well, I have a different perspective. I see my business as my child. And my partner will become the mother to that child.
I choose a man.
I'm going to use that.
Okay.
You try that on tonight.
Yeah, she'll help me to raise the child.
Right.
Even if, I mean, she's not going to tell me what to do or who to fire, who to hire.
Right.
But just that moral support and that guidance. Because your partner can actually become your mentor, your silent mentor.
Right.
That's why they say behind a successful man is a woman.
Or two. Or three for Jay-Z, for that matter.
Well, no, Makwapeni can also encourage because, I mean, she needs you to pay the rent and, of course, the Mini Cooper. Someone's got to pay for that, you know.
I didn't say it.
You guys
grilled
me.
This comes
today.
From a new father. Dude, here in studio, no holds barred, so you need to be prepared. Did they prepare you, Lou?
You grilled me today.
All right, no. All right, let's talk to Lubabalo for a second because we're talking about business and all things nice and wonderful. My brother, tell us about your new initiative, your farmer's market. What's happening there?
Are you a farmer? He doesn't even look like a farmer. Tweet a picture of him and ask if he looks like a farmer. Like, there's no shorts, but tall pair.
I think you're missing the point.
I'm a farmer
like
at heart. I'm a farmer at heart.
Okay.
Well,
it's
I mean,
a farmer's market, Monabisi. Okay.
Well, it's not necessarily only a farmer's market, but we're also going to have food there, you know, certain events. Also, as well as bartering as well, which is something new, something fresh that we're bringing into
a
market. Bartering. So people are going to actually barter, actually exchange goods for other goods. Not necessarily use money as a medium of exchange.
So
it's something slightly different that we're actually spinning into the market scene.
Oh, wow. So this is called the mid-market because it's in Midrand, right?
Correct.
Right behind, just down the road from Teasers. Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
No, but on a serious note, though, talking about the bartering thing, I mean, how's that going to work? So I pitch up and, like, I got this old CD.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like a case of beers for it.
Exactly. So how it's going to work is that anyone who wants to barter first needs to register with the company first. There's a certain minimal fee that you have to pay on registry. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can actually – there's a section that we've actually demarcated for bartering. You'll have to just call one of the ladies at the office.
They've What's got the number?
Admin fee, 072-191-2525.
That's 072-191-2525.
And then over the phone, you get to register.
Correct. That's 100%. Yeah.
Okay. What does registration exactly entail, though?
Registration entails sort of signing a contract. There's an indemnity form that's there. We just need to know a little bit more about you, so a little bit of a background profile about
so
who
that
you
you're
are,
not
what
botching
you do.
People's TVs.
A bit of a one pager. Yeah, so you're not stealing goods from somewhere else and then bringing it there as well.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, but it's a very broad market. It's not only just bartering, like we said. There's a lot of farmers that are going to be there.
It's a food market as well.
It's a food market
craft
as well.
Craft beer,
professional services. Believe it or not, yeah, African food, Malamukhodu, there's quite a number of guys have actually, you know, registered and are going to be exhibiting at the market. So that's quite exciting because we've got people all the way from who owns hair salons to barbers to people that do BEE certificates. You know, it's quite a broad.
Oh, it's quite broad. So it's not just eating.
No, it's
you
not just
get your
eating.
Haircut while you fill out your BEE certificate.
I think the objective behind it is really more of just you know, grooming and bringing together a collective of like-minded individuals.
Right.
You know, small businesses who don't or can't really afford a platform where they can actually advertise a business.
Right.
So we're giving them a platform, providing it for them for almost next to nothing.
Okay.
And in return, all we want is for them to succeed. You know, the objective is for them to actually create and build a brand, get criticized, get, you know, advice from consumers who will be coming there, and then grow and mature from there.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So when is it happening?
It's actually coming. It's happening this weekend on the 25th and the 26th.
So, Saturday,
it's
and
Saturday and Sunday, okay. 1st of July. Initially, we're going to start it off once a month.
Right.
And we may move it to actually the first weekend of a month, simply because there's just so many things that people do
at month end.
You know, so we need people's commitment. We need people to actually come through.
Okay.
And just to get more and get a different vibe, you know, it's a different vibe. It's a different scene. I think what people really need to know is that there's actually life in Midrand, because at the moment there's absolutely nothing to do on weekends.
Okay. All those black people know where to go, except teasers.
Yeah.
but tell me something. So what are the times Saturday and Sunday?
Times 9 to 4. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kick it off early in the morning up until 4 o'clock. There's going to be live music and a live band, but literally strictly at 4 o'clock. And I'm telling all my people that we're going to cut off, you know, everything. We need to evacuate and respect the premises as well.
Yeah. Black people are going to leave at exactly 4 o'clock. They're only going to arrive at about
4 o'clock.
Half past 3.
Probably.
Yeah. And entrance fee is, do you pay to be there? Me as the public, you know.
For the public, the admission is totally free.
Okay.
And we encourage them to come with their families. We've actually created a facility for kids as well.
Are the donkeys?
There's going to be horses, not necessarily donkey rides. We may try to get some ponies here and there.
Who rides donkeys
we've
anyway?
Got horses.
Well,
yeah.
I ride a pony.
Yeah. Peter's big people.
Yeah, and where is it going to be exactly? Just give us the address one more time, please.
So the address, if you know Belvedere Estate, you won't get lost. The address is 100, number 100 Belvedere Road. It's a plot. It's actually in a farm plot, number 328. That's in Glen Austin, Midrand.
And it's called Nkandla Mansions.
Yes, previously. Yeah, okay. Previously known as Nkandla Mansions.
All right, so there's going to be a fire pool.
Something like that,
and lots of security.
Definitely security,
and a chicken run, and a sheep kraal, and an amphitheater, and a tuck shop.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
A clinic.
And a clinic.
Guys, Ditsago, so what is it that, like, you guys do? Because, you know, for me, I understand, yes, you're involved with media. You're at OR Tambo.
Yeah.
We're both at OR, actually. If you're not at OR and you're a small media company, you should be worried, by the way. And you guys, I mean, you've got Avon, Justine. Mm-hmm. Those are big brands, you know.
Yeah.
How do you maintain them? And what is it that you're doing so differently for these corporates to trust
you
and
as a
your
black
brand.
Company.
And Ditsago, for me, when I think of Ditsago, I don't think luxury.
Okay.
Not because of anything, but just the name. You know, African names
Does
in
it
business
need to be
have
French?
Been. You know, African names have just been.
Le Ditsago. You know? I hear you. No, you're right.
Know, they've been
stigmatized.
Like when I hear black company
all
name, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Like,
yeah.
Save me.
They're always going to be late.
You know? So how are you breaking that mold? How are you, you know, creating the Branson of South Africa or Africa?
Yeah, I think firstly, the paradigm when we approach business is to look at Japan and South Korea models. We don't know what Yamaha means. We don't know what Samsung means.
Chesa.
We don't know what Sony
Huawei.
Means.
Chesa.
Those Pichon. Are people's Pichon. Surnames, and they are global Shenmue. Brands.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah. Kia.
Kia, you know.
Huawei.
So essentially, Huawei. we were bold, and we said, "This is Ditego. This is South African."
Right.
And now it's internationally recognized.
Ah, Chesa. And the so clap, man?
That is
great.
But you know what?
Clap.
You know what? No, hold on. Look, I'm not connected to the clap. We're gonna have to do it analog.
Yeah, that deserves a clap. You know, I'm sorry.
What? I must say. No, I was gonna say Ditego actually has a really great ring to it. It's like it just rolls off the tongue. Ditego. It almost sounds like Huatehiwa. Ditego. See, like we're laughing, we're happy people.
But again, I think for entrepreneurs out there, budding entrepreneurs, what you need to look at, and this is stuff that I've even learned recently in some of the chartered marketing course that we were doing.
Right,
is that you need to focus on the customer. You need to care about what the customer says.
Customer centric.
Yes, be customer centric. And what we do every 3 months, we send a customer satisfaction survey.
Right.
Because the book I mentioned by Theodore Levitt, he does mention that the greatest compliment you can get is somebody coming back for your service again. And do customer survey. You might not like all the feedback that you're getting, but it's going to make you do
I
business
really like
better.
That.
Yeah.
Love your customer. Take good care of your customer.
Even if they pay you late.
Yeah.
So I get that a lot.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Well, how you deal with that is the finance people must deal with the finance people, and it must be totally separate from business that is at
Amen.
Hand.
Amen.
You know, right, because...
Right, damn, this man can preach. Yes, he just like, got me.
Hold on.
We're having business church in here.
I just want to ask a question. I know, like, I'm older and everything, but can you be my mentor?
Young mentor.
No, for real.
For
though.
Once on this show, real, the show, like, concedes real. To a guest.
No,
my man, whatever
real,
you have today.
Real,
like,
real recognize, real.
Okay.
Me, I want this guy as a mentor. I'm taking him, in fact. He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm hijacked. You're my mentor.
Okay. This, let's have a deal. There's a lady by the name of Ayanda Mbama, and that's why I came to the rescue of Our Perfect Wedding. I'm inviting her to a workshop on marketing, but this is an advanced course on marketing.
Right.
And so do me sure if you'd like to be a part
I
of that.
I
want to
do it. Oh, when?
Come through. It's in 2 weeks' time. I'll send you all the details.
Look, we're going to exchange numbers. Ne?
Let's do that.
And then from there, like, you're my mentor. I'm going to call you at the most awkward times, like on Sundays, especially.
Just time to lose weight.
I've got this.
As a mentor.
But you can see we're both well fed. Why not?
Guys, what a yard. And that's another thing we need to tackle. Why is it when brothers are doing well? Like the weight thing.
It's the first time, man.
It's the weight thing. Like, what's up
food?
With that? Okay, I know our time's up. And that. You were not Duncan, a woman. Just wait.
Okay, but I've got a reason. Me, it was two reasons.
I
was asked for a role to put on weight, and then I was pregnant. You see, the baby's come out now, and now I'm going to lose the weight.
This guy's lying. Yeah. Okay, take out his lies first, ne? Before like you
but
mentor
that's the
him.
Truth,
clean up
God.
Shop. You know,
and of course, craft beer is. Damn good.
And I mean,
working on
someone like Dumisho, whatever gaps that he's seen in the market, it's going to be very easy for me as a marketer.
Yeah.
So it's just about finding those gaps, helping Dumisho build whatever he wants.
So you guys are a marketing company.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got a farm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Farmers market.
Yeah. Farmers market. Farm. Yeah. Gafan. 609. No?
Yes. And my farm is in Midrand.
But how do we link these? Guys, you know, it's almost like we're not having a conversation.
Mm.
We're not linking up what we... Like, I can't fathom that I'm learning about a farmer's market. Yes, it's new.
Yeah.
But as a media owner who's connected on the ground on many levels.
Yeah.
How do we not know these things? And how are we not promoting each other's businesses? How are we not promoting... property. How are we not promoting
like TT Black property?
Property.
Big ups, I mean, big ups, TT.
Yeah.
How are we not doing that? Like, is it us? Is it pride? What is it?
I think it's essentially we need to partner with each other. We
need
to assist each other. I'm more than willing to help where I can.
Right.
And essentially, it's easy for me if I have a workshop on marketing as opposed to trying to save the world each and every day.
Right.
So I could spend a day with you
right.
and then show you how to do it.
Right.
And when you have problems, you can get back to me. But essentially, it's easier when we're doing it in a workshop and I bring you in free of charge.
All right. But in the meantime, we got to get out of here because we've run out of time.
Before
Make sure that you follow Teboho Ditego on social media, on Twitter. It's at Tebogo Ditshego. Also, you can also follow Read a Book SA. And what is your Twitter handle, my brother?
Twitter handle is at The Mid Market. We can also find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search, look up The Mid Market, and you'll find us there.
All right, we're out of here. We'll see you again next week. Wanna be see parting shots?
It's been real. I love this show. I actually enjoyed our own show.
Yeah.
Damn it.
All right, we're out of here. Sharp. CliffCentral.com.